Dawn Recorded Lecture Service is pleased to present a session from the 1998 General Convention held at the University of Pittsburgh at Johnstown, Pennsylvania. The speaker for this session is Brother Ken Furness, whose subject is Closing Discourse.
The 1998 General Convention is coming to a close. This convention will go down in memory as the finest convention ever in promoting the harvest work, which began in the late 1800s in this area. I hope and pray that when you leave this General Convention, that in some way, somehow, that this is going to be a turning point in your lives to reconsider the lessons that were brought forth over this platform. We hope that somehow we will grow spiritually, and that somehow we're going to put on the spirit of the truth. As we came together on this first day of this convention, there were tears of joy as we met, some of us for the first time, others you haven't seen for years, and others who have been here for many, many years. There's some of you who have been to General Convention for the past 50 years. And so as we leave this General Convention, yes, there'll be tears again. And Lord willing, brethren, next year, we'd like to meet again. But if we don't, our Lord Jesus and His Heavenly Father will prepare us for the royal wedding. What is a royal wedding? We're going to look just for a few moments from the world's standpoint of view. Perhaps you have watched the royal wedding that took place in England in the late 70s, in 1978, between Prince Charles and Diana. I'm going to tell you what one reporter said, and I want you to remember that. He said, perhaps this is the last royal wedding that we will ever see again. That's interesting. He may be right. When we look at that royal wedding in England, think of the many hours that have been gone into the preparations. The chariots, the horses, the combing of the hairs of the horses, the clothing, the bride's dresses, the headdress, the veil, the jewelry. I'm sure you would say, if you watched that wedding on television, you would say this was out of this world. Not a spot or wrinkle on the bridal dress. There was such glory and beauty that was set forth before them. But you know something? Our Heavenly Father is preparing a royal wedding for us. But it's going to be 1,000 times more majestic than what you've seen in 1978 of that royal wedding. Just a little history looking back. In some countries, many years ago, weddings are planned for the bride and bridegroom. In some cases, the father of the bridegroom would choose a bride for his son. They'd been engaged for 1 year. And in that 1 year, the bride would not be able to see or talk to her future husband. She can only talk to him either through his friend or his father. And so when the time came for the wedding, her maids or her friends would help to make the bride, the bridal gown, the veil, and she kept the veil on until she entered the bridegroom's house, which is the father's house, and when they were married is when the bride would remove the veil. In some cases, history tells us that they would live in a parent's house for a whole year. How would you like that? Now, does this sound familiar? Our Heavenly Father is choosing a bride for His Son. And He's going to be our Prince. But He's going to be our majestic King. We also do not see our future bridegroom, do we? But we know a lot about him. And we know a lot about him through his father, through the Word of God. What is interesting is the word royal. As you look up in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the word royal in the Bible means, from Strong's 934, a palace, king's court, kingly nature, a sovereign, majestic, noble king. In a dictionary, it means to be like a king, the word royal. Now, how do you and I prepare for the royal wedding? Last Saturday morning, Brother Mike Balco opened unto us the doors to one of the finest bridal seminars that we can enjoy at this convention. Each day we had tables filled with bridal supplies. And we need all of those bridal supplies. Why? To prepare us for the royal wedding. We had lessons on the blue, the purple, the scarlet cloth. How the Holy Spirit is a well of salvation. We were told how to hold fast to our faith. We were told lessons here how to use opportunities to help others. We were told about our personal attitude, what we should do with it. We were told about humility. How we're to have clean hands. We're told about our work in the harvest time. How we're to make the truth our own. The lessons presented over this platform. What about our spiritual heart? We had lessons on that. We're told about power of prayer. Our spiritual growth. Cultivating our character. How we're to have self-control. How we're to apply divine principles. And then we had the lesson on remember your former days. We had lessons on unity of the faith. And there was a number of speakers, I was surprised, that quoted Hebrews 10, verses 22 to 25, to consider one another. We had a lesson on forgiveness, which we all need. You and I who have dedicated our all to do the Father's will, and not our own will, you have been given a robe. It is a wedding gown. What should we do with this robe? You remember what Brother Stephen Yike said? He gave us a lesson. What is that in thine hand? God's rod. And how did he sum it up? It's the sum total of our life. That you can remember, can't you? What else is in your hand? Symbolically, you are given a needle. You're given an embroidery needle. And all these lessons that we have obtained here for the past 6 days are threads that we're going to put into this needle, and we're going to do some embroidery work. And so when we go home, brethren, from this convention, we are going to do a lot of embroidery work on the lessons that we've received the past 6 days. We're told how we must embroider the fruits of the Spirit into this wedding garment. We want to be just like our Prince. Why? Because he had meekness, he had gentleness, he had brotherly kindness, he had love. We want to copy him, don't we? Our future Prince that we are to marry. We want to follow his full consecration to do the Father's will in every sense of the word. Some of you may feel that all you need is only a wedding garment. No. You need an embroidered wedding garment. And this garment must be without spot and without wrinkle. Psalmist David tells us in Psalms 45, verses 10 and 11. I'll read the scripture to you. He says, "Listen, O daughter, consider," or like the New American Standard says, "give attention, and incline thine ear, forget also thine own people and thy father's house." Remember those two things. Thine own people and thy father's house. And then it says, "So shall a king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him." Who is his daughter? It's you, the bride-to-be. Who is the king? It's your future king, your future prince, the King of Kings. That is the one that you're going to meet at the royal wedding. Remember 2 Corinthians 11:2? He says, "For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin." Those are high standards, aren't they? Let's look at verse 13 of Psalms 45. "The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is interwoven with gold." Your American Standard reads that way. Interwoven with gold. This pictures you as a bride prepared for the royal wedding after your embroidery work is successfully passed, your trials, your difficulties, your testings are over, and you're going to be accepted as the very elect to be forever what our Lord, to share his glory, to be in the courts of majestic royalty. In the scripture, symbolically, gold is used to represent divine nature. The picture as a whole teaches us that when the King of Kings shall present his bride before the Heavenly Father at the close of this age, she will be possessed of divine nature. Romans 2:7, glory, honor, and immortality. And this is what Apostle Peter assures us will be the outcome for the bride in 2 Peter 1:4. This was also quoted a number of times over this platform. "He had given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, whereby we might be partakers of divine nature, we did not get this divine nature or this gold raiment in the present life. Our immortality is a hope, not an actuality. The apostle says we seek for glory and honor and immortality. How difficult is it for us to grasp the thought that the great Creator is desiring that the bride class should be associated with His Son in this great work as presented over this platform in restoring the world in the next age, to bless all the families of the earth. And He did not invite the holy angels, but He invited you instead. Why? Because you have ears to hear and hearts to respond to the call of this gospel age to walk the narrow way in the footsteps of our Redeemer, our future Prince, our King. We want to be at that royal wedding. Why? That we may see Him as He is. And what else? To share His glory. Psalms 45, 14th verse now. I'm reading this from the New American Standard. She shall be led to the King in embroidered work. The virgins, her companions who follow her, will be brought unto thee. Now, in the King James Bible, it uses needlework. And this word led, that we find in this verse, she shall be led, applies to the present life, all through the gospel age from the day of Pentecost until now. The Lord has used various instrumentalities to call out from the world His peculiar people. And by these various instrumentalities, He has led us from grace to grace, from knowledge to knowledge, changed them from glory to glory to prepare them and us for this grand royal wedding in the first resurrection. Of the clothing that they will have as gold, glory, honor, and immortality. Brother Leo Post told us of the truth movement up until 1916 and of the instrumentalities that were used at that era. In 1918, the PBI was used to help brethren spiritually in order to make their calling election sure. For a few moments, I'm going to tell you a little story. In 1908, there was a 17-year-old lad who consecrated his life to become the Son of God. And his father wanted him to work at the Bethel House, to which he agreed. And this lad spent much time promoting the photodrama of creation with Brother Russell. After in the mid-20s, matters got worse at the society, and he left, and he began his fellowship with the Brooklyn, New York class. And so with the encouragement of the Brooklyn class in 1928, the radio echo was born. I suppose many of you brethren know who this young lad was in 1908, who dedicated his life to full service to the Lord. It was Brother Woodward. This year marks 70 years of the radio message that started in 1928. And what was the radio message? And thee and thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the resurrection, the restoration of mankind. That same message today still echoes throughout the world. It has not changed. The same message that Brother Leo talked about prior to 1916. I also believe that Brother Woodward was one of the instruments used after 1916. And there were others who worked with him. There were the Dawsons, there were the Kendalls, there were the Bakers, the Prices, the Mitchells, the Copelands, the Wilsons, the McCauleys, the Zanos, the Fays, the Hershers, the Hadgeses, the Pollocks, the Krupas, the Penroses, Senior Yikes, Senior Patiences, Brethren Polish and Ukrainian and Slovak from Chicago and Detroit. The list goes on and on and on that worked at that era. But you know what is nice? Is there are some consecrated children from these families who are in their 80s and 90s. And they're here. These brethren are instruments that were used by God to bring us together of where you are now, today, that made this convention possible as well. These brethren helped us to prepare us for the coming royal wedding, is what they did. I remember the years that we have spent with the senior Roscoe's. These brethren have left us a legacy. What is a legacy? They've left us the faithfulness that they were to. To have the spirit of truth, the harvest must go on, was the message from these brethren. To the young brethren of this convention, I hope that this convention will be a turning point in your lives. How important this harvest work is. I'm going to throw a figure at you. What are you going to do the next 50 years? How old will you be? 70? 80? Maybe 90? What legacy are you going to leave for the younger ones behind? But someone says, wait a minute, the kingdom will be here by then. Yes. We hope the kingdom would come tomorrow, don't we? To end this long night of misery and woe, the sufferings and pain. The list goes on and on. But what if it does go for the next 50 years? Are you going to stop? Are you going to be disappointed? No. Our Lord wants you to continue to preach the good news of His kingdom. The harvest must go on while it is day. You remember the theme hymn that we sung every day? To the work. And I'm sure the Heavenly Father wants you to accomplish, to use your work to the best of your ability. And another thing I'd like to leave with you. Our Lord wants you to stay within the boundaries where God can reach you. Don't go outside the boundaries. And so I hope and pray that this general convention will be a turning point in your lives. We must try to prevent our garments from receiving spots and wrinkles. We have the merit of our Lord's sacrifice to cancel our past sins and to cover us with his robe of righteousness, and so all subsequent imperfections resulting from the original sin, weaknesses, and ignorance must all be forgiven us and not remain as spots upon our robes. 1 John 1:7. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. You've read that scripture many a time. What does it mean? The thought of this text is not the original justification which we received, the robe, but the cleansing which may be ours after we are the Lord's and have the robe. The word cleansing here refers not to something already past, but to which it is now at our disposal, which is now in progress, a cleansing, a forgiveness which all of the Lord's people need to pray for. And we're to accept it. As in the Lord's Prayer, it was mentioned today, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We find, brethren, from Pentecost down till now, those who have been called and accepted are robed with the wedding garment, and they've been asked to strive to keep their garments unspotted. And I believe, if you'll agree with me, that many tears you have shed in cleansing the spots in your robe, haven't you? Philippians 4:8. We become very fortified. We become strengthened. We build up in character, in their love. And Scripture says, for everything things are just and true and lovely, of good report. We want to do that. 2 Peter 1:10-11. Apostle Peter says, if you do these things, you shall never fall. So an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I believe that Apostle Peter here is referring to the same things that is represented by the embroidering and the needlework upon the wedding garment. All the espoused ones are shown the pattern on the robe. We're all informed of the necessity of working out our own salvation, of cooperating with our Lord in making our calling and election sure, to be prepared for what? For the glorious wedding in the heavenlies. You remember Paul Mell told us about the heavenlies. Acts 14:22. Through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. This tribulation is painstaking. Fine needlework. And you know what the result will be? Matthew 25:21. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. When you and I apply the right heart condition and endeavors to keeping our roads clean and unspotted, our Lord counts it unto us as being perfect. But you know, a question arises. I'm sure you all have questions. One of the questions probably you're going to ask is, will we be married to our prince, our future king, in these robes that you're given at this royal wedding? The answer is no. You might say, why not? Because these robes, brethren, are merely the ones in which we're being led to the marriage. These robes should show our love, our zeal, and our patient endurance as our Lord examines our work of embroidery that we have done in our lifetime. But you can say, well, what kind of robes will we have at the royal wedding? It's going to be a new robe. Robe of gold. Divine nature. But you must have this embroidered robe first before you can obtain the new robe at the royal wedding. Getting back to our needlework. This embroidery, what is most necessary is what? Is it knowledge? No, but it is necessary to its proper in working. Is it our talents? Is it our laborious works? No, but it is required also. Remember Romans 13:10 says, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is a fulfillment of the law. This embroidery also represents love. John 13:34. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Love for the Lord and His truth, he places on a parity when he says, me and my word. One, of course, comes first. To our Lord and His word, we must be true at all times, brethren. Then comes love for the brethren. Why? Because we are all His. We have His Spirit because we are seeking to walk in His footsteps. Remember 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. He that loveth not his brother whom he had not seen, or he had seen, how can he love God whom he had not seen? Apostle John uses a very forceful argument that our love must continue and extend to neighbors and friends and enemies. We are to let our light shine. He told us we're the salt of the earth, so that we would have the full pattern of our robes, so that our characters are true and genuine in love for all. If an enemy should be a brother, the testing to love might be all the more severe, because this feature of embroidery is our Lord's requirement. When we leave these tables of supplies that we had for 6 days here at this general convention, our Heavenly Father wants us to love as brethren, be pitiful, be sympathetic, be generous, be helpful, be self-sacrificing. Remember the last discourse? Forgiveness. Do unto others as you want them to do unto you. Let the golden rule measure your thoughts, your words, and deeds. Measure the length of the stitches in your embroidery. Because that will assure you and me that it is fine needlework. Remember the theme discourse? What is that in thine hand? Use it. Use it. Psalms 45:14 this time. Remember the scripture says, you are to be led to the king and meet him at the royal wedding. But we're going to see someone else there. The virgins, her companions who follow her, will be brought to thee. Revelation 7:14. These are the ones, John says, have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Yes, my dear brethren, they will be at the royal wedding feast. Because they will be bridesmaids, they will serve before the temple. The great company, like the wise virgin class, also had to leave their people and their father's house. Remember in Psalms 45? They had to leave the world. Mark 4:19 tells us, the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire of other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Are we worried about world affairs? Are we worried about Washington, D.C.'s politics? Are we going to try and change our president? Are you going to try and find someone else different? Do you think that someone else different is going to change your $5 trillion that you have owed to the Treasury? No. Ephesians 2:3 tells us, we were children of wrath, even as others. Do we still want to be children of wrath? I'm sure not. Our Lord said, "Vengeance is mine. This is the day of the Lord. Our Lord will change the world His way, not your way, not my way." Philippians 1:13 tells us that we should be forgetting the things which are behind. And what should we do? Press on to those things which are before thee. The things that I once loved, now I hate. You remember the story of Rebekah? She left her people. She left her father's house. Plus, she had her handmaids follow with her. Rebekah, when accepting the invitation, she found a new family. We also, brethren, when accepting the Lord's invitation to be His bride, we're joining a new family. And you are that family. We're joining a new house. We all should be so happy and glad that we came to this wonderful bridal seminar that lasted for 6 days. The tables were overflowing with necessary supplies for our embroidery work on our robes. Galatians 6:10. "So then, while we have opportunity," Paul says, "let us do good unto all men, and especially to those who are the household of faith." And in 2 John 8, he says, "Watch yourselves, that you might not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward." Brethren, we want to come off conquerors and be received by our Lord and our King as His joint heir and bride, and introduced as such to the Heavenly Father. Psalms 45:15. It says, "They will be led forth with gladness and rejoicing. They will enter into the King's palace." That is the royal palace. You remember verse 9 in verse 45, in chapter 45? It says, "The King's daughter is among thy noble ladies. At thy right hand stands," what? "The Queen in gold." I hope that this general convention is an impact in your life that'll give you a new beginning. The linen robes that you had in this lifetime of sacrifice are going to be changed when we pass beyond the veil to robes of gold, divine nature. What happens next? Revelation 7, verses 3 and 4. "When the full number of this bride is presented to the Father, the royal wedding begins. The bondservants of our God have been sealed." We're going to have a choir sing here tonight after this closing of this service. I want you to imagine in your minds 1,000 times over of the hallelujah choir that's going to sing in the heavens at the royal wedding for His Son, the future King and the future Queen. Revelation 19, verses 6 and 7. "Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to Him. For the marriage," what marriage? "The royal wedding of the Lamb has come. His bride has made herself ready." What a day that will be. What a day that will be. Aren't you glad you came here? I am. I wonder if he's ready for the royal wedding. That day will be a different day. But you're going to have a work to do to restore the world back to perfection. You are going to give comfort to Rachel. No longer will Rachel weep for her children that have died, because they will be with her now. They'll be raised from the dead. World free from all evil, clean fresh air. All that are under grace will hear his voice. No more sickness and sorrow and pain, no more tears, no more hunger. Politics are a thing of the past. Who knows? In that day, U.S. is going to have a new president, and her name is Sarah, Abraham's wife. Brand new kingdom laws coming from where? From the royal family that is called majestic rule. How many times have you read Daniel 2:44? In the days of this king shall the God of heaven set up what? A majestic rule is what that word kingdom means. Majestic, royalty, is what it's connected to. And that will be called the age of blessing, the age of restoration that God has promised through his holy prophets of old, a new heavens and a new earth. This royal family, with her king, will fulfill the promises made to Father Abraham. In thee and thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Our great God has been present with us for these past 6 days of feast. And as you and I, as we go home, we will try hard to work on our robes. We're going to use some fine needlework. And my prayer on your behalf, brethren, is that somehow, in some way, that all of you can be at the royal wedding with our bridegroom. And let us stay within the boundaries where God can reach us. God be with you.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.